As a way of unpacking today's scripture, passages that are fundamentally about beginnings and endings, about our origins and our origouts, that is, who we are and what we do, I'd like to take you on a journey through the past week as my life intersected with these texts. We'll start a week ago Saturday when I found myself, along with our youngest son Silas, working on this year's Homefront project in Norwalk. I mean, who could resist Wilder Gleason in the narthex wielding a hammer over the sign-up sheet? Sign up or else. But truly, it was an easy sell. I love that kind of stuff. And so there I was, along with a great team of St. Luke's volunteers. At one point, I was doing yard work beneath a roof on top of which Charlie Coons was working. "Susan, look, a bird in the gutter," he called down to me. And the sound of his voice spurred this mourning dove to lift herself and to fly above my head on into the yard next door. There, where she had been, nestled in the mouth of the drain spout, was a nest with two beautiful white luminescent eggs. Deciding that the nest couldn't stay where it was, since clearing the gutter and improving drainage was part of our work order, Charlie gently lifted the nest out of the drain spout. I remember thinking to myself as I watched him hold it so carefully, man, I need to tell his wife Liz what a beautiful sight that was. It was like I was down below and he was on the roof. It was like looking up into a stained glass window. Charlie there cradling the nest, being in that very moment the Good Shepherd. But of course, I forgot to tell her and then procrastinated the week away, and so instead, I am telling all of you. Well, Charlie put the nest in Tim Ward's bucket, and Tim brought it down, where I then tucked the nest into the lilac tree that grew beneath the gutter. Martha Cook was raking leaves behind us and made us all feel better by telling us that she'd read it's actually a myth that birds won't return to a nest touched by human hands. But still, we knew that it wasn't a perfect home because the only nook in the tree that would hold the nest was very low to the ground. Well, the day wore on and the house started to sort of smile and preen with its hedges beautifully trimmed, its windows and shingles repaired, and a fresh coat of green paint. It was resurrection right in front of us. And then Charlie appeared again. In the course of the cleanup, he'd unearthed an old hanging planter basket, just the size to hold a nest. We took the nest back out of the tree and hung it and put it in the basket and hung it from the gutter, now only inches from where it had first been. Would the mother come back? We left, certainly hoping so, and praying that we hadn't disturbed in all that movement some beautiful new origin story. Well, Sunday came and went, another great day at St. Luke's, if you were here, and then Monday rolled around, and I hopped a train to New York City to meet a new egg in my own origin story. As it turns out, a beautiful chestnut egg. This is the story that I expect we will see more of and will be played out in our modern day, as this story was hatched by 23andMe, the DNA genetic test. I pray all the other stories will be as happy and life-affirming as this one was. The short story is, I have a new cousin, a French Senegalese, just my age, son of my dad's younger sister, a child she reluctantly gave up for adoption in Paris almost 60 years ago. How Jean-Marie found his mother after all these years is a story of serendipity and miracle and open hearts and longing. And it made for an incredibly happy Mother's Day. The letter that my cousin first wrote to my aunt a couple months ago from France, testing the welcome he might or might not receive, was beautiful. And at its heart was his desire to know for himself, and now even more so for his children, his origin story. Isn't it so that that is the longing of all of our hearts, to know and to be fully known? Well, baptism, which we celebrate this morning, is in a very real way our origin story. It's the sacrament by which we acknowledge and confirm and celebrate the indissoluble bond between us and our ultimate Creator, God, our Mother and Father. It's when we get closest to our beginning and our end, to the ground of our being, to use the language of theologian Paul Tillich. There is a somewhat pat, but still meaningful story that makes its way around the internet and gets told in spiritual circles. It tells of a young mom and dad after the birth of their second child. At the time, the couple already had a 3-year-old son. Well, the story goes, as soon as the newborn was brought home from the hospital, the 3-year-old asked to hold the smaller child. But when the infant was put in his arms, the boy would ask that he be left alone with the baby. Understandably, his parents weren't entirely sure this was a good idea. Anyway, a few months went by, and still the 3-year-old insisted that he wanted to be alone with the baby. The parents put it off as long as they could, hoping that the older child would forget, but his demands just got more and more persistent. Finally, they agreed to leave the 2 very young children in a room alone for a few minutes. Standing just outside the room, they listened for anything out of the ordinary while their son was finally alone with the baby. And this is what they heard. The 3-year-old said to the newborn, "Tell me what God is like, because I'm beginning to forget." Baptism helps us remember. And Good Shepherd Sunday helps us remember. Helps us remember where we come from and in whose good care we find our safety and our joy. In John, we hear, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." And earlier in the same chapter, "I am the Good Shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. The Father and I are one." When I met my cousin Jean-Marie on Monday, I couldn't stop looking at him. I felt this very tangible tug. And when I shared that with my other aunt, my dad's youngest sister, later in the week, she wasn't surprised about that. She said she thought she saw a lot of my dad in my cousin's eyes and smile. So just as Jean-Marie was experiencing his origin story by encountering an entirely new family for the first time, I was remembering mine, putting it back together by finding my father again in him. Truly, if we could all really realize just how connected we all are, one to another and to creation itself, we might change the way we treat each other and actually experience God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In order, though, not to leave you only considering your origin, I want to push you to your origin out. I coined that new word. Do you like it? Because what we're being asked today is to take that origin and turn it outwards. We're not just to rest in our knownness and our belovedness, but to share that with others. Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, we're told in the passage from Acts, was devoted to good works and acts of charity. These acts were her testimony to her origin. And the widows remembered her for this. They stood weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made. What we might ask ourselves today is, do our deeds properly testify to our origin? And that brings me back to baptism and to the wonderful baptismal promises that will be prayed today. Parents and godparents will offer these promises on behalf of their children, newly hatched, children they will know and love. But we too, in renewing our baptismal vows, we make those same promises for ourselves. the promise to proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ, the promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves, and the promise to strive for justice and peace among all people, and to respect the dignity of every human being. That's a good map to follow through a week, any week. And as a P.S., after the 8 a.m. service, folks asked, "What about the bird? Did the mom come back?" My faith tells me that yes, the mom came back. Good shepherds take care of their sheep. Amen.
Amen.